The Crime Report, ladies and gentlemen, and is brought to you by the Crime Stoppers, Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls kept confidential, and a reward of up to $5,000 issued for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, retired NYPD sergeant, is a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay, and author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, Edition 3. Joe, a highly decorated member in his day of the NYPD, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. Good morning, Sarge. Hope all is well. Joseph, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
My friend, we got so much to get to. I don't even know where to begin, but you gave me a slew of topics and everything else, and that coupled with others. So let's get right to it. A couple of arrests, Joe, a former NYPD officer. It's unreal. I mean, how many retired police officers were actually in and around the Capitol on January the 6th? Are arrests being made? It's unreal, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely. I don't know what the word to describe it of, but what this guy did was absolutely disgusting. He's the one who's being charged with gouging out the eye of the Capitol Police officer. His name is Thomas Webster. He's from Orange County, New York, upstate New York, and he's being held without bail, which is what he should be held without bail. And this is an awful case, and I just want to know like why it took so long to identify him. I mean, if I remember all the faces of the guys and girls that I worked with. I mean, if I would have worked with this guy, I would have picked him out right away. So we wonder if the feds were given tips and they were just trying to track them down. But that would be interesting to see what happened with that.
Amazing, right? Former cops who, you know, served to protect and everything else. And look at the mayhem they caused.
It's awful.
On that dreadful day, it's just unreal when you think about it. Let's get to this this longtime South Old Town employee, Joe. He was a Boy Scout leader. My goodness. And by the way, a former candidate for supervisor in the town. His name is Damon Rallis, and he was arrested on child porn charges. Cameras in the bathroom. I mean, it just, you know, what can you say about somebody of this nature, right? Somebody who ran to uphold an office for the people of the town and a Boy Scout leader. I mean, it's unreal, right? Unreal, Damon Rallis.
Yeah, the police are asking the public if they had any interactions with this guy, and their kids had any interactions with this guy, because they believe that this isn't, he just started doing this. Let's put it that way. He's been doing this for an awfully long time, and he's been a Boy Scout leader for a long time too. So this story is awful too. It gives any parent a nightmare. But he's a predator, and it's as simple as that. They're holding him on $200,000 bail, so he's not out yet. And they recovered a lot of images from his computer. And those images, let's just say at least, were, according to the papers, were extremely disturbing. So, let's just see. We're going to follow this case, Jay, because this is. I have a feeling there's going to be more victims out of this guy.
This one, I think, took the cake for the week. There's no question. You know, when you have a screen name, folks, Dirty Daddy, what does that tell you? Not only that, you know what surprised me, Joe, about this as well? His wife, while speaking on the phone with a judge about possible bail conditions, you know, she said, I think it was like, this is insane to me, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not... You don't even know anything what's going on here about this guy. Dirty Daddy.
Yeah.
That was his screen name, you know?
Well,
I mean,
and
images.
His wife didn't even know, allegedly, so
images described as male toddlers in sexually explicit conduct. It's just, it's sickening. Sickening. I don't know what.
Yeah.
You can't say anything on this, you know? Guys like this, you know, lock them up and throw away the damn key. I mean, that's all you can say, really.
Yeah,
move on.
That he can't victimize any more kids, that's for sure.
No, but that's why. You put them away, throw the key away. Let's get to this Oscar Rios Perez charged with a stabbing death. I remember the case, Joe. We spoke about it. Of his roommate last month, put the victim in a plastic bag in Uniondale. This guy then made his way down to Texas and arrested him. He was preparing to head down to Mexico from there. Previously deported, waiting on extradition. Thank goodness a neighbor viewed what was going on here and started the ball rolling here. This was a horrific case.
Yeah, no, we spoke about this case when it broke, and it was like, you know, it was just the typical, you know, this guy was found dead in a bag, and police are investigating, and that was the end of the story. We didn't hear anything else, nothing about any leads or anything. And that's how Nassar and Suffolk, they both roll that way, right? They tell you very little information, and then, boom, a few weeks later, there's an arrest. They did a great job tracking this guy down. He was actually boarding the bus to go to Mexico when they took him off the bus. So, I mean, talk about great timing, too. They did a good job on this one. Give them two thumbs up.
No question. They did a phenomenal job. This guy, Austin Hunter, from Amityville, 16 years in prison, and it's the first case where toxicology used from someone that fatally overdosed. Investigators used victim's cell phone to track the dealer, made the arrest. And how about that with fentanyl? You know, a lot of times they'll seize the paraphernalia, the actual drugs. Guess what? Now with new technology and everything else, toxicology puts Austin Hunter away. Good to see. And good to see that they are using this type of stuff now. We know about the deadly use of fentanyl laced and everything else, Joe. This was an important one.
Oh, yes. No, this is a huge thing. We had spoken a bunch of times about these cases, about how, you know, how are they going to be able to do this. But Cini did a great job. The guys from Amityville, they tracked this cell phone to the drug dealer, the victim's cell phone to the drug dealer. I guess they made a coordinated buy using his phone. And, you know, they made the arrest, and then they tied him to the death. And like I said, we spoke about it. We knew they couldn't charge him murder. But this is the first time this is able to do it, and the guy got 16 years, so this sends a strong message out there to all the heroin dealers and the fentanyl dealers and everything like that, that if they can track you down, you're going to jail for a long time.
No question. And there's another guy in the news today, John, I don't know if you read it, with a Middle Island guy who is believed to be linked to two fatal drug overdoses, charged with a count of distributing and possessing with intent to distribute, again, the fentanyl. So a tremendous job by an undercover detective out of Glen Cove with the DEA, bought the fentanyl, and, you know, that's what happened here. So, you know, he went undercover, he purchased all this stuff from this Charles Carter, and, you know, seven different types of occasions. That's what it takes. You know, you got to build your case. And that's what happened from October to this past January, a tremendous job. This is where they're going right now, Joe. You're right.
Yes.
They are really kind of banking on this stuff. So another great job and undercover and everything else going on here, huh?
No, I mean, when you think about it, this is a great way to combat this, where you're actually creating the opportunity to find the drug dealer, right, using the technology that they've been hiding behind. Because the days of the guy standing on the corner and slinging, just like prostitutes, right, you don't see them anymore. Why? Because the internet has changed all that, the technology, the cell phones, all that has changed these what people refer to as victimless crimes, but they're not. So here's an example. Right now they get this guy. We're going to see. I'm sure he's reading the paper today saying this guy has got 16 years for one case. So will he get 32? I don't know. We're going to wait and find out. We're going to follow it.
Joe Jacklin on the Crime Report. The Skeloses were in the news. Our old pals there, Joe. you know, good to read the appeals court upheld the conviction. We know that Dean was out. He got out early. But the son, they wanted to get him out. No chance. And I'm glad to kind of read that. I'm sorry. You know, these guys were abusive. They steamrolled their way. Skelos, Elder Skelos, used his power. He made threats. He made sure his son, who was abusive in his own right, got on plenty of payrolls. You know, it was a horrific story that we discuss all the time, you know, as far as having power and abusing it, a la Shelley Silver and others. But in essence, good to kind of see justice stand up to where it should be, you know?
And it was a 3-0 decision, Sue, so it was a no-brainer. Wasn't anybody wavering. This is, hopefully that the people of New York State also are getting fed up with all these corrupt politicians from New York. I mean, there's been so many. And you know what? If you don't throw the book at people, if you don't keep them in jail longer than, but up to the point that they're supposed to, you're removing any form of deterrence from it. And then, people think this is okay. Well, you know what? I'm glad that they lost, and that's it. You know what? Like you said, close the book on these two and let's move on. It's unfortunate, but this is just so much of it. We've kind of come numb to the fact when you hear about a politician getting, charged with some sort of corruption.
Lynn Carlos, Buffalo Billions deal. Shelley Silver, as mentioned prior, former assembly leader. You go to Joe Prococo. Listen, you go on and on here. It's unbelievable.
Let's not forget about Singh in Nassau County. It's absolutely insane what happened in Nassau County, too, remember?
You can forget Mr. Mangano with the veal parmesan and the chairs and the doors and the watches. Don't get me started, Jack Alone.
Right. It's crazy.
It is crazy. So it's good to see, a court system doing the right thing. Now, new reforms and everything else, Sheriff Toulon Jr. in Suffolk County, pretty much, he put some stuff together, the governor's initiative, making sure the mandate, everything in place, reforms, reviews by April 1. Joe, we saw a lot of reports regarding traffic stops and everything else here. So, Toulon's done a very nice job in his position here. So this is what you're seeing now from individuals across the board here.
Yep, and they have to have these reforms, the plans in by April 1st to the governor, if he's still here. The issue that comes down to is that, Nassau and Suffolk County have all these little departments, too. So now you got to worry about all of them getting their plans in on time, because North Hempstead just put their plans in. There's like 6 or 7 departments that they represent. So it's interesting to see if they're going to be able to get in by the deadline, because they only have about a month or so left. And, all the reforms revolve around statistics and databases tracking traffic stops by race and if summonses were issued and the like. So, like I said, not every reform is good, but some of these are, you kind of like scratch your head and say, why weren't these done before? I still see a lot of fighting over the body cam issue, right? A lot of departments still don't want to do body cam. If you read the North Hempstead story, it's true. It is an onerous task to keep all that stuff and to pay for it and the like and store it. But this is what the public is demanding, so I don't think they're going to have a choice.
But, Joe, in the end, I think it protects everybody involved, because
yes,
there's always so many questions about procedural type deals and everything else. At least you have proof. And that's, I think, what's well needed right now in today's day and age, So,
yes,
it is what it is. Did the FBI know a little more on that riot on January 6th? They sent a report the night prior. Focus on them right now. Interesting. If you caught some of the events from yesterday, where you have the acting U.S. Capitol Police Chief, Joe, you're going to end up Pittman, who testified before a House committee about the attack, saying they had received intelligence, warning of the potential violence, made preparations, but were not expecting just how many would take part in that assault. So there's a lot of questions here on all avenues,
Yeah, this is like everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else, trying to cast blame and get it away from them. But listen, the agency that's responsible for protecting the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol Police, it's on them. There was no planning. There was no situation that I've heard so far where they've gathered all the chiefs around the surrounding areas and didn't have anybody ready. You could blame the FBI. You could blame everybody you want. But in the day, it comes down to it's the rank and file of blaming the Capitol Police executives for sure. We've already seen two of them resign, and they'll have to still testify. So it is what it is, Jay.
No question. No question. And still, you know, listen, who knows when they're going to finally have some sort of closure on this, okay? But, you know, listen, there were a lot of droppings of the ball here, many a front. So we'll keep an eye on it. Big case, Joe, where you have a grand jury voting not to indict the Rochester police officer who were involved in the suffocation death of Daniel Prude. And, you know, what can you say? Letitia James was doing an investigation. Her office presented an extensive case, different outcome, she said, from what the grand jury handed in the other day. But James has called for police policy to be amended in this state. You know, so it was a lot going on here with this 41-year-old Daniel Prude left brain dead, detained. You know, it was one of those mental health episodes, died a week later. Very tough situation in all here.
Yes, no, I was on CBS this morning the other day, you know, regarding this. Letitia James just failed to put her case together. I mean, if you saw the video, you know, it's, of course, all the videos that you see with these police interactions that somebody dies, they're very disturbing. So if you do watch it, just be prepared for that. But everything was going pretty well, and then it just turned ugly. You know, the medical examiner said he died from asphyxia, and contributing factors was PCP in the system. So there's some sort of correlation between the two there, apparently, that the grand jury didn't choose to indict. So we're going to see what happens. I'm sure there's going to be a civil rights investigation. I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of things that happen after this. This is all in the mind. This is all in regards to police reform talk, too, right? And everything's going to be done by April 1st. So this is going to be one of those cases that will be talked about. And it's going to be about, you know, what I fear is that they're going to go like the diaphragm law in New York City. And, like, you know, no pressure, no nothing around the neck, nothing around the chest, nothing around the back. And you're going to have to arrest this person just by I don't know how. And then we saw how that's not working well in New York City, but I think that's where we're headed.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and you're right about James. You know, she really didn't put enough together here. You know, Letitia James has done some good things most recently with the nursing home deal, but she's also, you know, gotten an incomplete from me on her report card because of the way she's handled things. You know, really kind of citing police, wants investigations, NYPD. I mean, does anyone not remember a chokehold of a perpetrator against a New York City police officer that happened in Brooklyn? Did anyone not see that? Did Corey Johnson see it? Counsel? New York City? I'm just wondering. So, you know, when you do these investigations, you know, you got to wonder a little bit here. But, you know, listen, and that's why you need a thorough investigation. Put a case together thoroughly, objectively. You know, you don't see that. Now, I saved one of the best for last, and that is the Tom Spoda, Chris McPartland deal. Interesting one here, Judge, where a federal judge who presided over this case said that she would unseal a number of the records that were not made public during the trial, including material relating to the former Suffolk chief, police chief James Burke. So Joan Azrak, who's been in front of many a tough case, you know what? And there's going to be a little something going on here. So that's going to be very interesting stuff. There is always a cloud over this type, you know? Always a cloud regarding Jimmy Burke.
I can't wait to read what gets let out. I mean, this could be really interesting in a lot of different aspects. And it's just, this is like the gift that keeps on giving. Spoder and his team were fighting to not have this released, but the judge said no. So it's gonna be good, I think. Like I said, this whole situation has just been so bizarre from the beginning, but it's about to get worse, I think.
Azrak did the right thing. She took into account the right to know. You know, we talk about transparency. I mean, the public has a right to know versus the right of privacy of the individual named in this material and just how much of the material is already publicly known. So she didn't say when, but you know what? That was a bombshell this week, no question.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, I want to give credit to Joe. Joe and I did a series of really good shows. We were really one of the first guys to concentrate as far as the Gilgo Beach murders and everything else. And listen, we told you about some material that other guys were doing, really just copied everything we did. And Joe did a great thing. He formulated everything. We got it. Great job by JT Woods, putting it on our website. Joe, I'll give you a lot of credit. JT, great job. And we were the originals as far as getting it done. Listen, sometimes it goes by me. Listen, we're used to that sometimes. But sometimes in this business, it's kind of crazy. Well, great job, Joe. Appreciate that.
Great. That's awesome.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Have a great weekend.